Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Active Radio KHII 88.9 FM Podcast. We really appreciate you joining us today. My name is John Hurt, and we're going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our community. By sharing knowledge through our conversations, we will try to impart some information you may need about what is happening in the Tularosa Basin and across southern New Mexico. So let's get to the interviews.
Well, a good Thursday morning to you. Good morning, I'm Bob Plott. We're live in the local studio this morning. Well, it's time now for my morning discussion for my good friend, Kelly Carroll. Kelly is Chief of Interpretation at my favorite White Sands National Park. Kelly, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Well, I'm happy and I'm a little bit sad. Does that make sense?
It may.
Yeah, we'll get into that, right? Kelly, a lot of good things going on in White Sands National Park. I know that you've got the summary from a visitation for last year in December and everything else. We did pretty well last year.
We did.
All the way around.
We did. So yes. We did the visitation for at White Sands for 2022 was extremely strong. It was just over 705,000 people visited the park. That's amazing because if you think just when I showed up 5 years ago, it was 400 some thousand.
Oh, so, yeah, right.
So a lot of people have discovered White Sands. And as we all know, what a treasure it is. I'm really happy that it has been discovered by a lot of people. And, you know, since it's been a national park, it's really come on a lot of people's radars.
Oh, no doubt about it. I was reading an article, I believe it was Sunday, in the Anamagoda Daily News about some people that were staying in one of these, what do you call them, BRBs or whatever?
Airbnbs, yes.
Airbnbs and everything up on Thunder Road. Mm-hmm. And they specifically mentioned they love that location, looking out towards White Sands National Park. And she said, we always love to visit White Sands National Park in Alamogordo, in our area.
Yeah.
And that's a good plug for us.
It's a wonderful plug for us. I mean, we have such a wonderful community with everything that surrounds us and inside the city to do itself. What a wonderful place to live. But yes. It must be incredible to visit as well.
There's no doubt about it. I know I never get out there enough. I get out there, but I never get out there enough. Now, I saw a picture on social media the other day that showed a rattlesnake out there on the White Sands National Park someplace.
Yes. So one of our park rangers has started a new social media campaign, and it's called Snake Saturday. And so every Saturday, he focuses on another species or some behavior of the snakes out at White Sands. And there's actually quite a few species of snakes out at White Sands, including four species of rattlesnakes.
Now, was that picture a rattlesnake? I don't know if I ever saw the tail or not, so but it was a snake.
Yeah, and I definitely know he's featured all four of the species of rattlesnakes in his Snake Saturday series.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of that life out there at White Sands National Park. It's not just rattlesnakes. There's a lot of other good life going on out there as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the fascinating things that may not be apparent when you first visit the park, but there is so much life in that park. And in fact, there's been a lot of species of, especially insects, that have been discovered out there that are brand new to science. And so it's a wonderful ecological, like, resource. One of our employees, the resource manager, calls it the Galapagos of New Mexico.
Which means a variety of...
Yeah, just, you know, these you have species that have evolved completely differently than their surrounding partners out in the deserts just to survive in the White Sands.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and those species, they do they change color, so to speak?
They can, yes.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so that's one of the major adaptations, as you'll find out that most of the animals that live inside White Sands have lightened themselves.
Right.
We even have a white black widow out there, if you can believe that. We have white crickets, and even some of the bigger predators, even the fox and stuff, hasn't gone completely white, but has lightened themselves quite a bit.
What causes that?
Well, it's evolution. So, you know, being lighter out there serves two purposes. It not only helps you blend into the environment so you're safer against predators, it also keeps you cooler during the summer. And it's just natural adaptation. So as you have, you know, different species evolve, that as they get lighter, the lighter ones tend to survive. And so eventually it becomes the stronger part of the species.
So if I spent the rest of my life out there, and I hope it's going to be a long time, evolution would say, well, Bob's going to be real light-skinned here down the road.
Yeah, well, it certainly does help you survive out there. And then other things, too, like you learning to burrow into the sand. You know, if you burrow into the animals that burrow in the sand, they can be up to 15 to 30 degrees cooler during the summer and 15 to 30 degrees warmer during the winter. So, yeah, there's a lot of adaptation. And not only that, the dunes itself, they're geologically speaking, they're extremely young. And so the adaptations the animals had to go through had gone through very, very rapidly, which is another, I think, very special thing about the animals out there.
Well, we're into our month of January. We're looking forward to summer coming up here in the near future. It'll be here before we know it. Of course, you'll be retired by that time, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But what do we have coming up at White Sands National Park?
Well, you know, it's a holiday weekend.
Yes.
So it's it's a three-day weekend. And so one of the things about Martin Luther King Day, which is going to be Monday, is it is the first of the five fee-free days at all national parks. And so this Monday, all national parks in the United States, including White Sands, it is fee-free. So you can come out, no entrance fee that day. So if it's been a while since you've been out, come out and visit us on Monday and get that free entrance into the park. And speaking of interest, I always want to remind our new community members, especially our new military community members and the veterans that live here in the communities, that we now have lifetime passes for military and veterans to all national parks. Just come out and get those at our entrance booth and enjoy not only a day at White Sands for free, but the rest of the national parks in the country for the rest of your life for free.
And I think we talked about this the last time we were on the air. I picked up my lifetime pass several years ago, and it's in my wallet all the time because I never know when I want to go to White Sands, you know, National Park, or as, you know, going on vacation. I mentioned this as well a couple of years ago to the Gila. We were able to use it over there as well.
Yeah.
At a park. And my son Matt said, Dad, don't you have an annual pass? I said, yeah, I do. He said, you have it with you? Always. He says, let me borrow it. So we got to stay there by the Gila at no charge.
Yep. So that's one of the things about the America the Beautiful Pass or any of the national park passes is that there are other spots that are not national parks that do honor it. So you never know. Valley of the Fire up in Carrizozo, they have it's free entrance into the park there if you have a national parks pass.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Valley of the Fires National Park. We've, of course, on 380 driven through that many, many times. I've never gotten out and walked that area.
It is such a beautiful little park. Yeah. If you like camping, it has an incredible campground for both trailers and tents. I love camping up there, but they have this half-mile walk through the lava field. It's exceptionally beautiful, and it is really worth a couple-hour visit up there.
Yeah. Now, is the walk based on the lava rock, or is it a path walk?
It's a path walk. Okay. It's perfectly accessible, so it's good for anybody, and it walks through the lava field, but the walk itself is kind of on a raised boardwalk, so it's easy to walk. Yep.
Yeah. Now, I've heard rumors about rattlesnakes there.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
I think that, you know, rattlesnakes are a part of the Southwest. You find them a lot. And especially they do like the warmth coming off of those black lava rocks. The good thing about that pathway, it's kind of raised off. And so you're not actually in the rocks itself.
Right.
But it's one of these things that, you know, I think that rattlesnakes, although, you know, we can be afraid of them, they're usually pretty docile, and if you ever typically get too close to one, they let you know. They really don't want to bite. It's really the last resort. So I think just kind of keeping your eye open and knowing when you're in kind of a snake space.
Exactly.
Just being aware.
Yeah, because normally rattlesnakes, if they hear you coming, they'll try to get out of the way.
They will try to get out of the way.
They'll move out. You know, and I've been here now 45 years, Kelly, and I've done a lot of hunting in the area. And not once have I encountered a rattlesnake?
Yeah, I mean, I see them out at the park in the warmer months quite often, and they're never, and I've never seen them try to bother anybody.
Right.
You know, people notice them, but they're typically just, you know, resting under a bush or just trying to stay warm or something like that. Yeah, I've never had any issues with them, and quite frankly, out at the park, it's, you know, trying to keep them safe and not not the other way around.
Well, if I ever did notice one, if I ever did, I'd give them all the space they wanted.
Give them the space, yes.
Yeah, I'll just, hey, this, you own this, not me.
Yes.
Enjoy it. I'm on your home line right now.
Exactly.
So take care of it. Well, you know, you're looking at, Kelly, you've been here at White Sands National Park for 5 years now, and you've been a government employee with the Park Service for how many years?
I've been with the Park Service for 14 years, but I've had almost 24 years of federal service.
Yeah. And the rest of this federal service was what?
I was a hydrologist with the U.S. Geological Survey, and then the remaining time was my time in the U.S. Navy.
And you spent 8 years in the Navy?
I did, yes. Yeah.
What did you do in the Navy?
I was I worked in sonar, so I was doing intelligence gathering on submarines.
And do you know that, you know the name of Chris Orwell at the Domestic Museum of Space History? He was he's the director up there.
Uh-huh.
He was a submarine, what do you call it, commander?
Really, a submariner.
A submariner, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was actually on surface ships hunting for submarines, but man, I absolutely love that job. And I you know, I'm an amateur astronomer, and I always grew up in big cities. I remember my first night out to sea and seeing that night sky with no light pollution. Oh my goodness. You know, I almost fell off the seat I was sitting on.
Yeah. It had to be beautiful.
Yep.
You know, I wanted to see the night sky sometime when there's some shows going on. I will drive up Highway 82 mm-hmm. to a real dark spot, mm-hmm. park alongside the road, off the road there,
mm-hmm.
and boy, I'll tell you what, you see everything.
You do. You know where I go when I want to see a nice night sky here? Oliver Lee State Park.
Good point.
It is such a wonderful place to do, just to enjoy the night sky. It's dark out there. It's also really convenient because they have that great campground, and it's, you know, it's open 24 hours a day. So, and I'm a big fan of the New Mexico State Park. So it's a great place to go observing the night sky.
Yeah. I know I've been back to Wofford, our lookout site up there in the mountains where our tower is located. And I've been there working at night. And get out of the tower shack at night and look outside. It's dark. It's dark. But then you look up and you see, oh, my goodness.
I know.
Wow.
I know. What a treat.
It is a real treat,
yes.
You know. And it pays to go up there just to look at those heavens above.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, give us an idea. You know, you've been doing this work for a long time. What's been the high point of being here at White Sands National Park?
I think, you know, one of the high points at all of the national parks I've worked at is the parks in and of themselves are very special. It's been the teams I've gotten to work with over the years have been the really special part. I think one of my best experiences about being here is literally just being part of this community. Alamogordo really has felt like home for the last 5 years, and that's a really important feeling when you're moving around a lot.
You bet it is.
And so my wife and I have really taken to this community and plan to stay in this community, and I think that might be one of the things that I didn't expect when I first came here. That is probably one of the high points.
Right. So it's kind of growing into you and everything else. Are you going to be, once you retire, are you going to be traveling out of Alamogordo with Alamogordo as your home base, or haven't you decided yet?
I think that's probably what it's going to be. I'm going to, I know definitely we're going to stay here. We love it here. And so I have plans to do things that I've always wanted to do that's going to get me traveling a little bit. But yeah, definitely we're going to keep Alamogordo as a central part of our life.
Yeah. What's on that bucket list?
You know, what I've always wanted to do is learn to sail.
Oh,
yep.
Yes.
So I actually have been going through my certifications in the last year or so. And I have a sailboat up at Elephant Butte, but I really want to learn to sail on oceans.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
What would be the difference of Elephant Butte and the Atlantic.
A few gallons of water.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no, I mean, the thing is...
Bigger fish.
Bigger fish, yeah. No, you know, one of the things I love about sailing is not only is it very relaxing, but to me, it's very technical as well. And so I think that, like, when you go into an ocean, the complexity of sailing increases dramatically. And I think that's one of the things that really excites me.
Yeah. How big is your sailboat?
The one up at Elephant Butte is just 22 feet, which is perfect for that lake up there.
Right. And how big is the sail?
The sail itself, the mast is about 35 feet high. So it's a fairly big sail, even for a small sailboat.
Yeah. So you've got your biceps built up, ready to control that sail, right? That mast.
Yes, it does take some power sometimes, yes.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at your retirement coming up. Tell us when that's going to be. As I sit here and wipe the tears from my eyes.
Well, it's just at the end of this week. So, tomorrow's going to be my last day as a park ranger. So I'll be hanging up my flat park ranger hat tomorrow.
Very good. All right. After how many years now?
14 in the Park Service, like I said, 24 with federal service. And when I think about it, the other years have been in state government public service.
Yeah.
So.
Very good. You know, out of those 14 years of the Park Service and everything else, and can we talk about your age?
Sure.
You're what, 53?
53.
So you're retiring at 53 years old. I think this tells a story for maybe some young people that, no matter what their gender, they might be thinking about a career that would give them an opportunity to maybe move around the good old United States to different national parks or whatever, and yet, if they work things out properly, can retire at a reasonably young age when they're still healthy enough to do all the things in that bucket list.
I will say that my career inside the National Park Service has been, it's just been incredible. The people I get to work with on a daily basis, they continually blow me away. I always would encourage people to go into a career of public service. It's very, very rewarding. But my time in the National Park Service, or if you're looking into public land management, the National Park Service, to me anyway, serves such a vital role. You know, we have these special places in this country, special stories, and it's really a big honor to take place in protecting these places.
Right. In the 14 years you're with the National Park Service, what areas have you been stationed at?
I've been stationed at 4 different parks, from here in Alamogordo to the last park in Guam, so on a Pacific island, and then national parks in Nevada and Alaska.
Yeah. Now, how was Guam?
Oh, it was great. I absolutely loved living in Guam. The mission of the park there was to commemorate the Pacific Theater of War during World War II, which was a very, very humble job to be in.
Right.
But my experience on Guam, learning a new culture, being around new people, it was just an incredible few years.
Right. Now, you're at a national park up in Alaska. I spent part of my military up there at Fort Greely. What national park?
It was Wrangell St. Elias National Park, the largest national park in our whole system. If you look at Yellowstone National Park, which is big, Wrangell St. Elias is 5 Yellowstones. A funny story is I was a park ranger. I was the only park ranger in one of the districts. The closest next employee was 450 air miles away. So it was a fairly isolated job.
And how long were you there?
I was there just a year.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, the beauty of Alaska, every state is unique. I haven't been to a state, I haven't been to that many, you know, living and working, but every time I've been to a state, I've always loved the beauty of that state.
Yes.
Would really get out and explore that while I was there.
Yes. I mean, there's a reason that I think a lot of people that go up to Alaska for a job here and there and never leave. It's a really different place. It's a completely different lifestyle than I've ever lived. And, you know, sometimes I would go out and you'd almost pinch yourself looking at the landscape.
Exactly.
Around you.
Yeah. I remember one morning I worked for the Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. I was a broadcaster before the Army. I got drafted in the Army. And I was doing the morning show there at Fort Greely. And the idea of a morning show host is bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, get the troops up, get them going, and things like that. So I'm doing my morning show, and I've got this weather forecast in my archive someplace. Hey, good morning, everyone. It's 63 degrees below zero at Port Greeley. Time to crawl out and get with it, you know.
There you go.
Pull their covers back over their heads, and I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, you know, when I was in Alaska, so I was right on the coast, and, you know, if you haven't been up to Alaska, a lot of people don't realize that the coast is actually a rainforest. And so you don't actually get many sunny days in coastal Alaska, and I think we would average maybe 2 to 4 sunny days per month. I tell you what, when one of those sunny days would come along, it would just, oh my goodness, it would blow you away.
Yeah.
How pretty it was. Yeah.
Right. And then here in the Southwest, it may be just the opposite.
It's exactly the
opposite. It is for me, because we have all the sunshine.
Yep.
But then we get that rainy day. I'm going, oh man.
You
this
love
is
it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you love it.
I think I'm back in Michigan.
Yep, you love
for
it.
Everything. So as you get ready to retire tomorrow and everything, and looking forward to your life and that, you will be doing a lot of travel.
I will. Yeah. I love to travel, and I'm an avid outdoors person, and that's what drove me into being a park ranger. So lots of camping trips and, traveling trips, definitely. Yeah.
Now, do you do any hunting?
I'm not a hunter. I'm a fisher.
Okay.
Yep. So I do fishing. I like to fish up at Elephant Butte as well. I just never tried hunting. I've never tried it.
You can fish from that sailboat.
You can fish from that sailboat. Yes, you can.
No problem at all. All right. Kelly, any final comments this morning, sir?
Well, you know, I think my final comment is just a wonderful thank you to this community for just embracing us as we moved here 5 years ago, and we really fell in love with you.
Right, and you're ready to travel.
I'm ready to travel.
Right,
yes.
All right. Back in that sailboat again.
Yeah, if you ever need a sail, ring me up, Bob.
Okay, got you for sure. And Kelly Carroll, I want to tell you, this has been my pleasure working with you the past 5 years. You have been so helpful. I send you an email. You respond back to it. You take care of our needs here at the radio station so we can let our community know what's going on, not only at White Sands National Park, but some other areas as well. So I want to personally thank you for being the kind of man you are and making my job easier.
It's an absolute pleasure, Bob. It's been an absolute pleasure to work with you. I remember those mornings out at the White Sands Balloon Festival.
Yes, yep.
You know, we were out there before the sun even comes up.
Yep.
And to see those balloons get ready.
Well, maybe I'll see you out there this September.
Maybe you will,
all
yes.
All right, and we'll go on the air again.
You've got that.
All right, Kelly Carroll, thank you very much. Chief of Interpretation for one more day at our beautiful White Sands National Park. Kelly, God bless. Good luck. I'll see you around town.
We are Active Radio, 88.9 FM, KHII Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 KEDU Ruidoso.